Brethren, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is our text this evening. I've taken a deviation a bit from the 2 Corinthians messages because I know at times we can get redundant, and I find that these passages that the Apostle Paul dealt with greeting some of his laborers is very insightful. So this evening I want to speak about useful couples in the church. We may not have many, but those we have ought to listen to this subject this evening. I find that, I trust that this couple, my wife and me, are useful in this church. And I think every couple should ask if they are useful in the church. And because some obviously are not useful. And based on what I would provide before you, you should see what it means to be, Miguel, useful couples in the church. So Angela next to him. Angela, you can interpret for him what the topic is. Tell him, useful couples in the church. Good. And this is what we will endeavor this evening. Romans 16, 2-5. We read, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Now, Romans 16, the Apostle Paul mentions many of his helpers by name. And if we are to speak of them all, we would not be able to exhaust the chapter. But what I need to say is that ministers of Christ should always remember the names of contributing servants in his ministry. Sometimes I'm told I got a knack for names. I don't. I'm just grateful for the people that I have made an impact on, or they have made an impact in my life. And thus I remember them by name. Some of the names are difficult to pronounce. The last time we showed a useful woman in the church, Phoebe, there was not much background material on this saint, but we showed how Paul defined her with four single words, and you may remember that if you're keeping tab with the messages. The apostle now makes mention of a useful couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Now, there is a whole lot of information given about this couple. I was going through sermon audio, and I picked up on Sam Waldron. And I think he preached about three messages on this subject. I says, wow, they have other men that are interested in my topic. And you know, Brother Sam Waldron, of course, he's a theologian. I don't think he would ever tune in to City View. But if he does, he hear me call his name. Once he roommate with me and Brother Colin. And you get to see the good and the bad about Sam Waldron. But there's much information about Aquila and Priscilla. There are only three verses given about them in Romans 16, but there's a whole lot of other passages. The apostle met this couple on his second missionary journey that Brother Colin read when Paul visited Corinth. Priscilla and Aquila were Jews from Pontus in Asia Minor. They were living in Rome and were expelled by Claudius. And God providentially, you probably would have griped and complained, But it was God's providence in bringing them to Corinth, where they met the Apostle Paul and had a life of service to the churches. You see how God worked? Aquila and Priscilla may have been influenced by the events at Pentecost that left an impact on them. For instance, if you turn to Acts 2 quickly, 7 through 9, you would read there that when Peter and the apostles were there that morning at 9 o'clock, we read, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, not Mesopotamians in Vincent, the one in Palestine, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia. Now from this text we may assume that these heard the gospel preached that day. You see, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word. But faith isn't stagnant, it grows. And here we see this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, may have been pre-evangelized when Paul met them. They were already evangelized. Paul's ministry didn't have a hand in their conversion. And this shows how God puts his people in our path when we are converted. God brings people into the path of those he saved. And we should be thankful when God does that. It is believed that Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla form the nucleus in the starting of the Corinthian church. I believe that. And the names are always mentioned together in Scripture. I said to the men sometime recently that couples in the church are often alike. And this can be good or it can be bad. Well, for instance, let me draw a reference to Ananias and Sapphira. They were alike. It can be negative or it could be positive. Couples can be alike. But if one of the two are converted, they should be able to influence the unconverted. But generally doesn't happen that way. The first point I want to make this evening about Aquila and Priscilla is foremost. One, they were in Christ. Notice the text, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. That's the first and foremost point. This couple was the way they were because of one essential, fundamental need for one to be useful. They were in Christ. There are only two kinds of people in the church: those who are in Christ and those who are in a building. To be in Christ is what makes the difference between a churchgoer and a child of God, a Christian. To be in Christ means that one will mind the things of Christ and not the things of the world. When reading other references about this couple, we will see what is meant to be helpers in Christ. Now, a good book to read with this phrase that is repeated so many times is Romans 8. It begins with the phrase in Christ and it ends with in Christ. And if you read it carefully, you will see how someone that is in Christ behaves, Romans 8. It's a beautiful book on assurance. We read of this couple that was in Christ. Three times in Acts 18, when Paul first met them. We read of them again in 1 Corinthians 16, 19. I give you the references. You can study it for yourself. 1 Corinthians 16, 19, where Paul greeted them. And a couple of times Paul greeted them and he reminded them and the church in their house. We read of them again in 2 Timothy 4:19, and each reference we read about this couple, their lives are characterized by Christian service. Romans 16:3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now, what more could you ask of this couple? Time will not permit me to cover their usefulness. So I'm going to stop at this first point tonight and move on to the second, because it's too much to say and I don't want to cram everything in one heading. So first and foremost of this couple is that they were in Christ. And I know you may not be in this situation as a couple, but it doesn't mean that you should not covet this situation and you should not pray for this situation. I'm speaking to a wider audience this evening, but at times you have to meet the needs of a sector from the audience that you're ministering to. You have to preach the whole counsel of God. And you just can't preach one-sided messages. So let's move quickly to our second head. Since we have looked that they were in Christ, we look secondly, they were complementary to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They were complementary to Paul's ministry. Note the sentence, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now this is similar to what Christians are called to do, all Christians, on behalf of Christ and the brethren. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I hope you notice the difference or the link between 1 John 3:16 and the famous John 3:16. You probably see the link. That Christ did the same thing. They both speak of laying down one's life. Now many churchgoers today seem so distant from the body of Christ. We should seek to be a complement to the gospel and those serving in the gospel. If I wasn't here, I would be somewhere else being useful. Maybe to a minister, a preacher, maybe to a missionary. But if I wasn't here, rest assured, me and my wife would be someplace else serving. Aquila and Priscilla, I must add, had secular constraints. But they had gospel concerns. You know what they were doing. You heard it read. They were tent makers. They had a secular occupation. And they never said, oh, my job, I couldn't. They had concerns for the ministry. We're told their occupation in Acts 18, 1 through 3, where we are told that the apostle came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus of Italy, with his wife Priscilla because that Claudius had commanded Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft or trade, he abode with them and worked for their occupation. They were tent makers. Here we're told that they had a secular occupation. They were tent makers. They specialized in making temporary shelters. It tells us something about them. They were not building bungalows, but tents. Well, there's an insight here. Of course, they were building tents. Tents are temporal shelters, but our bodies are called tents. And what these couple were doing spiritually were building Christians, the character of the child of God. They had things in common. They were building lives, tents that inhabit the Holy Spirit. And he worked with Paul, tent maker. You know, Jesus was a carpenter, very ironically, because he was a builder of the church. As our brother said. So don't think that they were tent makers and just dismiss it. It has a spiritual meaning. But they had secular constraints. It's a reminder that Christians are to be sojourners in this world. Tents also remind us of the tabernacle. And they probably were building, Brother Depot, tabernacles to have evangelism. Dorothy, a missionary. Spiritually speaking, these two were spiritual builders. But I say this because secular occupation is never an obstruction to spiritual occupation. Some of us have it wrong. Dead wrong. We prioritize our jobs above God's work. And we say, God understand. No, he doesn't understand. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, the kingdom of God. The verse says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. In what ways was Priscilla and Aquila a compliment? Now, this head that I'm sharing, they were complementary to the apostle, has three subheads that is going to take most of my time. But I'm going to finish calling. I don't want to be a bad example. In what way they were complementary or a complement to Paul and the ministry? Let me name three. They were a help to Paul in hospitality. They accommodated the apostle. Paul stayed in their home, however humble it was. And I believe this was a very humble home. The Bible says that we should not forget to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. Priscilla was helpful to Paul in providing hospitality. It seems that Paul spent much time with this couple. For later in Acts 18, verse 18, we are told that Paul stayed a good while and then took leave of the brethren and sailed to Syria with Priscilla and Aquila with him. Well, you see the fondness that developed. And couples can find ways in their local church to be hospitable. When they're visiting preachers, they should find ways to be hospitable. They should not be dispatched in the church kitchen. There, we can show them hospitality. And too many times we push them back there. When I'm not here, I take them home. And I've been doing that before I was even pastor here. I had Brother Jeff Adams in my home. I had VB in my home. I had many people. I had missionaries from India in my home. And I would do it over and over again. I'm worried that if I had to go away, and Brother Bala wants to come here for 4 or 5 days, where he will be pushed if Colin is me and me in here. Maybe push somewhere back there. No. This couple was helpful to Paul in hospitality. The people in Chuma have a mud hut. And some of you can bear me out on this. Yet they show us much hospitality. I slept in a mud hut already. We can use what we have to show hospitality to God's servants. What other way was this couple helpful or complimented the Apostle Paul? Well, they complimented him doctrinally. Doctrinally. How do I know this? When Apollos came to the scene, he was not yet a Christian. Don't say he was a Christian. He was not yet a Christian. The Bible says he only knew the baptism of John. He had a partial understanding of the gospel. He was still under the theology of the old covenant, where he was observing elements of the law. He didn't hear about the Holy Spirit like the Ephesians, the 12 Ephesians, when he came on the scene. He had an Old Testament understanding in the scriptures, and he was very eloquent, as Paul was when he was Saul before conversion. Priscilla and Aquila took him under their wings, not one without the other, but all two. Let me read it to you, Acts 18 again, verses 24 to 20. You should keep your finger in Acts 18, really. Acts 18, 24 through 26. And there I read it. Acts 18, 24 through 26. Certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, this couple spotted a defect in Apollos' pulpit ministry. They didn't criticize him. They pull him aside. And you, as a couple, should be able to spot defects in a ministry when a man is offbeat. You should be able to do it. It's not only for the pastor. As I heard this morning, you should be reading the Bible too. There are many in our church, as I said, have not come around. They have a limited understanding in the scriptures. They would not reform. When you see them going down a path of error in doctrine or behavior, do you laugh it off? Yes, you do laugh it off. Leave it to the pastor. But a useful couple don't laugh it off. When you hear things in the back there that are unscriptural, highly unscriptural, or unethical, as an officer or a spouse of an officer, do you let it slide? I want to know. As a couple, to a younger couple, who you know that is going down a wrong path. And some of you know what we're talking about too. Do you just snicker and leave it? No, no, no. Brother Brian and Sister Marcel may say something. Dear sister, dear brother, you know that that is unscriptural. This couple was complimentary to Paul with hospitality and also doctrinally. They stood on the same plane. And sometimes I wonder if we are on the same plane. Is it only the pastor who is given to this duty of helping a weaker Christian? Not what Galatians 6 says, 1 and 2. Some may ride in your automobile. They may converse with you, their deep secrets. We can help the pastor doctrinally. Don't you know that the pastor is opposed to that teaching? It's very personal, huh? Or do you just try to keep a friend? Well, I ain't keeping none. Because you can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world. They were complementary. They were not at odds doctrinally with Paul. And at times some couples are divided in their beliefs. Some still hold on the erroneous doctrines of the past. I learned that at Paddock. I say that because that's where some of you are from. Or Wellhouse, I learned that there. I ain't changing that. Well, you better come around. This in Paddock or Wellhouse. This is City View. We are reforming by God's help, Jackie. I know you're going to get mad with me. Because you went there. Paul says in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. In other words, they laid down their necks in defending the doctrines of grace. They were not partial, not prejudiced. Priscilla and Aquila were Jews with Roman citizenship. This made them adaptable to Gentiles. Jews don't associate with Gentiles, but this dude did. God has a way of exposing his people to certain people that we can minister to them. Aquila and Priscilla may have been converted already and became a student of Paul. Converted couples also need discipleship of a more experienced preacher. And some couples would never get close to me. Never. They think they're fine. And some couples, if they could avoid the preacher, they would. And that's unfortunate. I had a man that was very helpful in my life. You hear me talk about him all the time. I don't know which direction he has gone, but I'm sure that Jackie and Marcel would ever remember Tom Harris. When Sister Jackie came to the United States in New York, I was the first to meet her in her house and took her where I was going, the Manhattan Bible Church. Little did she know I would end up in City View. She can't get rid of me here in this church. Brother Depot, close to 40 years. God brought this lady into my life, this young lady. So this is a perfect testimony. And she has been useful in this church. I don't really recognize people like this, but I show you how God worked in our pilgrimage. as believers. Adaptable. See, there's another way that Priscilla and Aquila complemented the apostle in the ministry. They were a complement in his missionary endeavors. Three, I give you. I tell you, it ticks most of the time. So there is a good number of helpful insights about this couple that we can draw many applications in helping us not to be only hearers of the word, but doers. Aquila and Priscilla were in Christ, not merely in the church. They were complementary apostles, Paul's ministry. And here they are, wherever you read about one, you read about the other. Helpful to Paul with hospitality, doctrinally, travel with him in his missionary journeys. You know all of these things. Find them one minute, you find them in Corinth. Next minute, you find them in Ephesus with Timothy. Well, they had no end. What time they had to make tents? You come to the last head. They were an asset to the churches. They were an asset to the churches. Verse 4, a footnote. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. We talk about Paul and all of the Gentile churches he was able to plant, but he couldn't do it without this useful couple. It is apparent that many churches benefited from the usefulness of this couple, and that's why we read of them at Corinth, at Ephesus, at Rome. Verse 5, part 8. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now you know that Paul the Apostle wrote this letter from Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla had the church in their house. When Paul left to go to Ephesus back in Acts 18, Aquila and Priscilla packed their bags and their business and moved with him and assisted him at Ephesus. Well, you can't say, Brother Curtis, you can't say everything about this couple. Wherever they went, the church was in their house. 1 Corinthians 16:19, I'll quote it. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Paul asks to greet the church in their house. We can be an asset to the churches. We should desire to be an asset most of our lives, brethren, as Christians. Now, I'm not talking about churchgoers. As Christians, as couples, should be consumed upon the church. Most of our energies. I'm here 6 days a week. Not necessarily because I'm called to the ministry. I find myself here yesterday in the study. God, my basement get flooded out. I was here. And brethren, you should take this message to heart. This couple was given to service to their Lord. They were not unique. All Christian couples should have the church in their house. You don't have to wait until you come to worship God here to have church in your house. Every Christian home should have an altar. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst." Whenever we as couples have an argument, which we do a lot, remember that the church is in our house. And Christ is the head. You can always tell families that have the church of Christ in their house. They know how to behave when they come to the church of God. Today, many in our church have lost all sensitivity to the house of God. Many, the ruffling of pages when you read in the scripture, there's a way to do that. I have noticed a heightened disrespect for this sanctuary. Unnecessary movement when the Bible is being read. Or strolling in when the hymns are sung and slouching over the chair when the word is preached. My wife said to me, I saw you choose the night with your arm across the chair. That's disrespectful. Oh, I did that. I didn't even know. And every time I do, I look back or look straighten up. Because there's someone to correct me. And yet I see people doing it, slouching over the chair. Or as I said this morning, strolling in when the hymns are being sung. These things are very noticeable in the house of God. The cavalier approach that some have toward the church and to worship, it shows a lack of seriousness in worship, a lack of the fear of God in our life. We said a few weeks ago that the church is not Port Authority bus terminal. It is the house of God when saints are gathered. Just because the preacher has a bottle of water in the pulpit like this, keep my throat wet, doesn't mean that everyone is free to be sipping water through worship. We need to stop that. Stop it. Some things we do at City View Baptist Church, I don't see anywhere else in the Reformed churches I go to. Nowhere else. Larry Johnson at Trinity would be there. Pick it up. Go. I remember me and Offneil was there that time. We were sitting maybe close to the front because I had to do a presentation at Trinity. Larry Johnson came right up there. You leave your car lights burning. You remember that, right? That's a deacon. He was doing his job. He didn't wait until he get out there and hand a battery. He was taught. I like him. And I see him age. His daughter plays the piano sometimes. But this cavalier approach, we need to stop it. We don't need a visiting preacher to tell us how to behave in the house of God. Aquila and Priscilla literally had the church in their house. And Christians met this way in the early church days. Philemon was also an agent of a house church. But all Christian couples have the church in their house. Why? They will have seasons of prayer, discussions of the Bible, Bible reading. The TV would not be the focal point of reference. Sports. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you don't go home and watch the NBA playoffs on Sunday. I stopped that long ago when God spoke to me about it. Some of you still do it. You're not reformed. The Bible ought to be the centerpiece in our homes. I remember when we used to meet in a home of a family in a suburb in Harare, Mibelrein. The man whose house we occupied back then thought he could come into the living room where I was teaching and conducting worship barefooted. I had to speak to him in his house. I had on my jacket. I said, sir. No, I spoke to him after. This is a place of worship when I come with the Bible. Put shoes on. You might say, but you was in his house. Well, who care? I was in the house of God. And he had his children the same way. We should honor God's house, brethren, in any environment. Another thing we should mention is our attire in the house of God. We should never come inappropriately dressed. You would never see me in certain dress wear in a church gathering, even the men's Bible study. Even though I am casual, I am not extravagant in being casual. And you should listen to me. You should be conscious of the Lord's presence and dress to suit the occasion. In Pastor Martin's theology, pastoral theology, he taught the men this. How would you like your child or your daughter or your son to introduce you to their friend much younger and your pants is hanging off your butt? Or you got on a greasy something going to church. And he bring out these graphic things to the men. We should be conscious of God's presence. If the occasion is a picnic, we dress for a picnic. If it is a worship setting or a prayer session, we dress for worship. We should respect the spoken word. I never see a news reporter at a press conference addressing the president with sweats or shorts. And some of you want to come here like that, addressing the king. And nobody say anything to you. Must I do it all the time? The president would not even listen to someone looking like that. But some expect to treat the house of worship in a casual, cavalier manner. Let's follow through on what Frank was saying. In fact, as I said, we should not ever wait for an outside preacher to come here and say something. We have heard everything from this pulpit. Don't wait for these people. I have taught you thoroughly the Word of God. This couple had the church in their house. And this required a measure of discipline. Remember that. And by the way, I don't know if Brother Curtis and Brother Charlie remember, but the church in Harare started in our apartment, in our house. You don't remember? That's where we first met Vicky, in the flat I was renting. Vicky is still with us today, with the church in her house. So what I'm saying is relevant, it is practical. It was me, Marcel, and Dion that was in West Avondale. The church was in our house. Useful couples in the church. Practical facts seen tonight. Don't let this message slide. Please, we all ought to be useful, no matter if we're couples or not, no matter what our earthly constraints are. I'm tired of hearing, oh, I had to work. Well, you need to look for a different job. Pray. The only way one would be spiritually useful is that there must be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be converted to Christ. To be in Christ means to be committed to Christ. To be in Christ means to be controlled by Christ's Spirit. To be in Christ means that you will be complementary to Christ's ministry. Paul's ministry was the Lord's ministry. That's why Priscilla and Aquila complimented him. They heard the message at Pentecost when Paul was busy killing Christians. Then they said, what? God converted him? I'm going to help him. They were an asset to the churches. They had an interest in church development. We see them in practically every church plant endeavor. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, and they submitted to young Timothy as a pastor. When Paul was about to go, and Paul said to Timothy, these things I have written unto you, that you should know how to behave in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that's why we should behave in the church. I shouldn't have to speak to anybody. 25 years laboring here, we should be all grown up spiritually. Instead of repeating, you get tired, you get weary. We see them everywhere. But a believer's usefulness never ends at a location. A lot of people come from St. Lucia. I get a call, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so is come. Never see them. Gone. Gone. You go down there, you go to Ansari, you see them busy serving. When they get here, American money twists their heads. Immorality. Don't be like that. Believers' usefulness doesn't stop at a location. Wherever we go, we have the same spirit because they're the same needs. And if one cannot be useful home, they would not be useful somewhere else. So I trust, brethren, that this message, with all of its applications, would serve to help us to be useful, not only useful couples, but useful Christians in the church. I give you these things, practical things, hospitality, share, open up your door, open up, don't be so closed, open up, take them out for a cup of coffee somewhere. Says, Brian, I hear you got brother so-and-so. Can me and my wife take this brother out to dinner tonight? Nothing like that. Come on. Let's get with it. May God bless you, Brother Presley. Let's pray as you come. Thank you, O God, for a useful couple. Lord, we see how you work in their lives. Maybe at Pentecost, hearing the word, going over to Rome, living there for a while. Then you got them going by providence, where they met the Apostle Paul and had a lifelong service to Paul and the churches and to Christ. May this be us, dear God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.